Father, we are thankful for your blessings for bringing us together as a small community among a large one, and for all the benefits of that, Lord, that you created, and that is fellowship and support, physical support, prayer support, the encouragement that we get verbally. I spend a week getting encouragement from people in this class, texts and conversations, and we thank you that that's the way you have set it up, so that we are a body of Christ, we are a community, and as John said last week, there's no such thing as private worship. In a sense, that's the same way with community. Lord, we just tap into this community that you are working, and so we thank you for that and pray that we continue through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for our time this summer hearing about work that is going on in the church, about ministry, about love that's flowing through many, many people to your kingdom. And so we thank you for that and the talks that we've heard. We thank you for Christy Herrick and her ministry and what a great job she does. And we pray for her encouragement as she does that work, and encouragement as she speaks, clarity and clarity as we listen and understand how to support and how to be involved in the ministry. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this morning. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, as you know, we've been doing this summer on things that are going on. People doing ministry at our church. I just talked to my sister. Y'all hear about this some, but she's been doing the two-year-olds for 42 years. The two-year-old Sunday school class, she's doing it right now, and she has a system. Chris, you and I think talked about this. She has a system down where they do little talks. She teaches them 12 Bible verses in the year. They come in at age two and leave at basically three. And so they learn snippets of Bible verses. She does a little, like a yearbook for them. She takes pictures of them at Christmas and Easter. I should do that for this.
Yeah.
Can we do that for Discovery with pictures for the?
You better start.
It is going a different direction. You're right. That would be good before and after. But she's never really recognized for it. And she does not want to be. So. But the church is going to do like a ministry highlight and at some point. So they had a guy come in and film, and Virginia wore her nicest sweater and she was ready. She and Rob got there early and everything went wrong. It was a total disaster. And this was like 2 weeks ago. So the guy's filming and one of the things that they lead a song, I guess it's the Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And then the kids will all go, joy. But they didn't. Nobody was saying. She said, I looked down and four little girls were standing in their chairs. And she looked out and they pulled their dresses up, which we don't have in here. She said, I was sweating so bad. And, and one little girl sat down. They have a little toilet in a little closet. And a girl had sat on the toilet and had her hand under the seat and was on her hand and was screaming. So they're like filming the joy, joy, joy. And it's like, and she's like, Virginia's like, please, please. I don't know why I just thought it's a super funny story. That's not what I'm saying. Your ministry is lying. I was not setting it up for that. But Christy Herrick has been 6 years, huh? Wow. Okay. That's it's incredible. But Director of Women's Ministries, you will tell the official stuff, but it's such a fantastic job. And our idea of this, what I've wanted us to see is what I was thinking, what so many people do for the church. What our church is doing, that's what our church is doing to minister to people. And then I go, but what I want to see is what God is doing. what God is doing in our midst, worship, what he's doing for us, through us, and then encouraging us and sending out or sending in, because sending in to minister to our members, to minister to each other is so critical. It's on our hearts in this class. So, as I thought about that, who better? Christy is doing such a great job of all of this. So with that rambling introduction, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. That sounds good. If y'all will just give me a second to get hooked up here. I've been teaching the 7th and 8th grade girls this summer, so y'all are a little different than 7th and 8th grade girls. We've been doing, we start off with a skit every week, and it's the way to engage the women. And so we're not going to do a skit today. We're not going to engage you that way, because you're not going to hopefully be like them if they're just not wanting to listen. They just put their head down. It's like a whole, you're just like, well, I need a little more feedback than this. So, no, it is a delightful group of upcoming 7th and 8th grade girls, and they are smart. They love the Lord. There's obviously some in there who don't know the Lord yet. So I will ask you this week and next week. So Allison Shaw is teaching for me today. So this week and next week, we're making very clear the gospel. So if y'all would pray that any young woman in 7th and 8th grade who doesn't know the Lord, that they would hear it clearly next week. That is our heart's prayer. And so they hear it they have access to it, obviously, every Sunday and Wednesday, but we're very particular in how we're sharing. So with that, so when I was talking with John, even just last Sunday, I was like, now what exactly do you want me to talk about? And so one of the things he said was just kind of why women's ministry and why do we do women's ministry? And so believe it or not, it is a conversation that goes around many denominations, and some churches have said we don't think we should have women's ministry. Other churches say that we should. So I'm thankful, obviously, I would not have a job, but I'm thankful that we are at a church that says we feel very strongly about women's ministry and have since the very beginning. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you kind of the why women's ministry, but I'm going to go about it very differently than you probably are expecting me to do. And so I'm going to remind you of things that you know. That's where we're going to start. We're actually going to start with covenant. And so I'm going to read to you just briefly. I love this definition that Ligonier's ministry has for the covenant of redemption. It says the covenant of redemption refers to the covenant made in eternity past between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to redeem a people for the glory of God and the eternal good of his children. And according to the terms of the covenant, the Father chose a people to save. The Son agreed to redeem this people through his life, death, and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit consented to apply the redeeming work of the Son to those whom the Father had chosen. I mean, before the foundation of the earth, this is the covenant that our triune God made with himself. And so I'm going to read it from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, because Ligonier is not the Bible. And so I want to read to you what the Bible says about covenant and this particular covenant of redemption. So Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and while I'm reading this, I want you to pay close attention to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit and what they're agreeing to do. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So again, nothing new here, but in this passage, just like we heard from Ligonier's ministry explain the covenant of redemption, the Father has purposed our salvation. Before the foundation of the earth, he chose us, and it's according to his will. And then the Son accomplished it. He accomplished it through his blood and through the forgiveness of our sin according to his grace as his righteousness is applied to us. And then the Holy Spirit applies it to us. He is the one who brings forth new life. He is the one who seals us and guarantees our inheritance. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I normally say ladies because that's who I normally talk to, but ladies and gentlemen here, for us, why women's ministry? We start with God. We start with his covenant that he made before the foundation of the earth. This covenant was that he would be our God, we would be his people, and he would dwell with us. And he made the way for that to happen. You see it in Genesis. Right there in the beginning in the garden where he's meeting with his people and then the fall, we know the story. But what did God do to rectify it right away? He came to the garden. He called the man to himself and then he clothed him and he declared that there is one who is coming who will put all things right. This is God from the very beginning in action, what he said he would do. And you follow it all throughout from Genesis to Revelation. We have a God who says, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you. When I teach the ladies, we have a course that we do called Thinking Biblically, Living Covenantally. When we're at this section, I love to say this is the drumbeat. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie Jumanji? Do y'all not even know what I'm talking about? Okay. The original one had Robin Williams and they played a board game. And anytime something was about to happen, you'd have this drum in the background. And so I think of this statement, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you. It's the covenant drumbeat from Genesis to Revelation. You hear it over and over and over. And so, again, we are getting to women's ministry, but this is so important. So for why we do women's ministry. So I want to just read to you real briefly. I'm going to zip through these because I want you to not just trust what I'm saying, but to hear God's word say it, that this is the drumbeat. Genesis 17:7, he says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Exodus 6:7, I will take you to be my people and I will be your God and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Leviticus 26:11-12, I will make my dwelling among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your God and you will be my people. Deuteronomy 29:10-12-13. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah 31:33 and Hebrews 8:10 reflects this. It says, for this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 28. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Zechariah 8, 7 through 8, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and righteousness. But it doesn't stop with the Old Testament. It goes into the New. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And then finally, Revelation 21, 1 through 3. I say finally because it's the final of my list, not the final of what's in scripture. But it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And so I start here because we have a God before the foundation of the earth who has said, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you. And then he made all the steps to make that possible and to secure it for all eternity. And we know that individually. Many of us, we know Colossians 1:13-14, where we have that picture. We were once in the domain of darkness, and then he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's because God had made a covenant before the foundation of the earth. And again, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with women's ministry? I promise you, everything. So I start here because covenant's what it unifies the entire thread of the Bible. And it's his covenant that he's made to himself and then he's made to us to be our God. And he's the one who sovereignly initiated our salvation and he brings us into relationship with him. But I don't want you to miss this. It doesn't say, I will be your God. You individual, all by yourself will be the one person that I'm in relationship. No, he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And so what does covenant tell us? Covenant also tells us that when he calls us into a saving relationship with him vertically, he also brings us into a covenant relationship with brothers and sisters, our family, our church family, our fellow believers throughout all history and time. We've entered into permanent covenant relationship with them as well. Isn't that overwhelming? Y'all are stuck with me forever. For some of you, you may go, that is great. And for some of you, you're like, whoa, whoa, back up. That's that's a little bit. But I just think this is so important for us to understand before we ever get to women's ministry or other particular ministries, to understand why. Why is it important that any of us engage with each other? Especially here in the Western mindset, we're very independent. You hear it all the time. I used to work in Christian colleges and secular colleges, and it was all about, I can do me. I can have my own spiritual life, but it has nothing to do with you. I can have my own journey with God, and it can look a certain way. And that's completely opposite of what God's word calls us to. He says, when I bring you into a covenant relationship with me, I am bringing you into a covenant relationship with all your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there is a way that I'm calling you to live your lives with each other. And so we understand this. I believe here at Briarwood, we have a good doctrine of the church. We understand that as individuals, God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. We understand that God has also designed us uniquely as a person with talents and interests and skill sets. We understand that God is the author of our boundaries and where he places us. Each one of us, as we have joined Briarwood Church, we didn't just walk up to the church and go, I've never even prayed about this. No, we prayed about where the Lord would have us to be a member. We believe that God has sovereignly appointed where we come week in and week out to fellowship and to be a part of a community. And so with that, we understand when we think about there's church, the universal church, obviously, but then us as a local body of believers, we understand that God gets to say how we function and how we are to relate to one another. And what does it look like to be in a body of believers together? So before I unpack that, what I would say throughout scripture, you see that the love of God compels us to love one another in a certain way. I mean, there's a bazillion one another passages about how we're to interact with one another. But this love that we have for God because he first loved us now compels us to interact with one another. And so I did just cherry pick two out. I could have picked a bazillion, but I don't want to just read tons of scripture for you, which would be beneficial because it doesn't return void. But for the sake of time, I just wanted to say to you, John 13:34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And then as you read some of Paul's writings, he talks about what this love compels us to do then. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he says, being affectionately desirous of you, out of this love for you, we're ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you've become dear to us. And so what he's saying is, out of this love that God has given us for him, he's given us a love for the brethren. And so it compels us to share our lives. There's this relational aspect that comes from being in covenant with one another. And then it also compels us to declare the truth of the word to one another. 1 Timothy 1:5, Paul is writing in again, and he goes, the aim of our charge, the reason we're speaking to you, the word of the Lord, is love. He says, the aim of our charge is love. It issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And so what he's saying is this love that God has for us, and now we love him back because he loved us. We now are to love one another. And this love is going to compel us to be in relationship. And it's going to compel us to speak the truth of God's word to one another. It's relational and it's truth based. And so again, you might be thinking, when are we ever going to get to women's ministry? We are almost there. So when you read in 1 and 2 Timothy, but primarily in Titus, in the book of Titus, Paul has entrusted to Titus to set the church up in Crete. He says, set it up. And so that's where we have some of the richest passages on deacons and elders and their qualifications. But he doesn't stop with just those who are being elected and ordained into positions. He gets to chapter 2. And here's what he writes, and this is not just a women's passage because it addresses everybody in the church. So let me read. He writes this, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They're to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. So Paul is writing here saying, put the church in order. And who is the church? The church is made up of men and women who God, before the foundation of the earth, declared that they would be his. And he said, I will be their God, they will be my people, and I will dwell with them. And he says, and I care about them. And now as they've collected in a local community, there is structure for how this local community is going to function. And yes, there are ordained officers. And he says, but every member of the church is important in this covenant community. And every member of the church in this covenant community is a receiver and a giver. They're in relationship because love compels them to be in relationship and sharing of themselves. And they're growing in their faith, and they're sharing it with one another to encourage each other in their spiritual growth. Did you see that? Older men, younger men, older women, younger women, bondservants, those who are other roles in there. It doesn't say older women who are married with children. It doesn't say younger women who are married with children. It says, period, older men, younger men, older women, younger women. Everybody has a place. And it comes from understanding you're brought into these relationships because of God's covenant with you, and now covenant with one another. So finally, women's ministry. Men, I'm not going to address why we do what we do with men, other than it's biblical. But for women, what you see here is this picture of older women and younger women. You see that the older woman in this passage, she is first to be growing in her own walk with the Lord. She is to be a woman filled with sound doctrine, living out the truths of her faith day in and day out. And so part of what we do in women's ministry is we provide opportunity for equipping for women of all ages and stages to grow in their own relationship with the Lord. Most often it's through Bible studies, but we bring in outside speakers. We have conferences. We do all of those things to provide another layer of equipping besides the normal Sunday and Wednesday rhythms of the preaching and the teaching that you get in your Sunday school class. So we just make another opportunity for women of all ages and stages to grow. But then the other aspect of this, it talks about the older women. They have to know the younger women to be able to teach them. And when I say teach, that doesn't mean standing up and necessarily lecturing or that. But the word of God has so transformed you that in your communication, you're able to teach just by the word pouring out of you. My mom will tell you that she's never taught me, but I will tell you she taught me every day of our life. She taught me when she would correct my behavior, when she would ask me to go to the Lord in prayer. She would correct me with the tools of God's word. And so she was teaching. So that's what it's talking about here. It doesn't have to be what I'm doing right now. So it's women's ministry. We also try to find ways to give you connection to women outside of your Sunday school class who are of different ages and stages. And so we have an event on Saturday. It's totally ridiculous and silly, but it is just so that you would have an opportunity to meet women that you don't normally meet in the church. that you might form a new friendship with somebody older than you or younger than you and you, or another woman that you've never met before. We just provide opportunity to build community amongst the members of our church that we don't normally see on a week in and week out basis. So that the hope is that you don't just walk away with a new buddy, but it's so that you might meet another woman. You might connect and go, oh, I remember what it was like to be whatever that age was. I just want to get to know her and encourage her with the truth of God's word, not necessarily asking her to join my Bible study, but I may just want to become her friend so I can speak encouragement into her life. And what am I doing in that moment? I'm building a relationship and I'm teaching the truth of God's word through those relationships. And so really at the core of what we do in women's ministry, we support the work of the church. We're not an island in and of ourselves. I'm under God's ordained structure for the local church, and I gladly sit there. I don't want to be anywhere else. But then our ordained leaders here have said, will you create extra opportunities for our women for engagement? Would you just provide extra places that if for some reason they're not getting it in other ways, that they know they can go somewhere to make a connection for teaching and for relationship? That's really at the heart of what women's ministry is to support what the church has been entrusted in, to help us have a bigger view of what it means to be in a covenant family, to provide opportunities in a large church like this for you to meet women that you're going to spend eternity with. But believe it or not, you can be here 20 years and never have met a woman, because you guys know our church, you just may be rotating in different directions every Sunday. And so really at the heart, that's all that women's ministry is. We want to equip you with the word, equip you to put it into practice. And then we just want to give you opportunity to meet other women that you may not know. The beauty of all of this, I will just say, men, even though I have nothing to do in terms of being over your area, nor would I want to. So the same call is for you as well. It's in the same passage. And it's not just for the ordained men. It's for all men. Older men, younger men. And then obviously the ordained men have additional responsibilities as well. But at the end of it, if you think about it, it's God teaching us how to be in covenant with one another. Because we're going to do this for eternity. We're going to be with each other. And so he's getting us basically kind of to know our family this side of heaven in more intimate ways, in more shaping ways, so that we can encourage one another. Hebrews 10 says this, verse 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is what he's called us to do when he brings us into covenant. He's called us to encourage one another. He's called us to consider how we can stir one another up to good work and to serve him. And I want to close with this quote. My friend Karen Hodge, she works for the PCA and for the women's section, and she talks about what women's ministry gets to do, but also what just in general the church body gets to do. So, but because we talk women's ministry, that's where we put it. She goes, basically, each one of us in this room, when God brings us into covenant relationship with him, and as we grow and mature, and he asks us to come alongside our brothers and sisters, and this is what she says, we have this sacred and holy privilege of participating with the Holy Spirit's transformative work in the lives of those we get to serve as we walk each other home. Isn't that beautiful? It's that picture of we all were basically, it's like we're backpackers. This isn't our final resting place. The Lord is going to take us home. And so what we get to do, sorry, I saw Amanda and had to wave. Former admin there. But what we get to do is we get to link hands and say, I'm going to walk with you in this journey until I go to see the Lord or you get there first. And we're going to encourage each other. And then you link arms with another person and you link arms with another person. And basically, we're just walking each other home and encouraging each other along the way. So that's what women's ministry is, just one little piece of trying to provide extra equipping and encouragement for the women of our church if they don't feel like they know enough, which we're never going to know enough. But we start with the Word of God. We want to equip you there to know Him and to put it into practice. But then we want you to engage with women across different ages and stages. It will stretch you. It will grow you. It will encourage you. And it will be a delight. So that's what we do. So before I close, I have like 3 whole minutes. So any questions about women's ministry that you want to ask about why? I just want you to know it's just, we start with covenant. Yes.
That was great. Informative and encouraging talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you make more specific statement of a couple of things you've seen that were super encouraging for you or fun or
Definitely. So one of the things, I'm going to do a plug for it. This is we didn't do it last year, but we did it 3 years before. And then this year, I've asked 31 different women to write a devotional. And so we put it out in August. I try to adjust it each year, who I'm asking. We're not professional writers. None of us are. But the desire with that is to ask these 30 to 31 women to engage with passages of scripture. So, you know, they're having to grow and stretch and then have to write something. There's a vulnerableness of putting something out that you put your name on it. And so twofold, one part of it is so that they can grow. I have conversations with lots of them at different points because they're like, I don't think I can do this. This is harder than I thought. What if I say something wrong? So we get to engage with them and then we put it together and then it's made available to the women of the church broadly. And every year that we've done it, I have one or two women who will come to me and they're like, I don't know this person. I've never even heard their name, but can you introduce me to them? Because what they wrote so resonated. And I'm like, oh, what a sweetness of letting people flex some skills they may or may not have or even want to have. And then another group of people who are reading and going, oh, that's a sister in the Lord I would love to meet. And so that's one thing. Obviously, I love the Bible studies. Our church is filled with so much rich teaching and everything. I would say Amanda, Leon, and I had the opportunity to teach thinking biblically and living covenantally with different small groups. And then on Wednesday night in another session. And I will tell you, from a personal standpoint, it was transformative to me. But then also the conversations that I had with different women afterwards, and then the ways that they were taking different pieces of that teaching and going, I need to think on this more, or I need to lift my eyes off myself and realize I have just been a receiver for so long, waiting to become old enough to be the one that looks out and gives. But instead I'm like, no, now I'm able to do that. So to watch different women, just these are the ones who've talked to me. I don't know what the others were doing, but different ones who said, I invited some ladies who sit around me who are younger in church to go out to lunch after church one Sunday. And so just as the word shapes them, just to watch them make connections outside. And then I will be honest, the other stuff, I love to have fun and I like silly stuff too. I know for introverts, I can harm them and I don't mean to. But there is a reason behind all my get to know you games is even in church settings, here's what I get. Oh, I would have gone, but I didn't know anybody who was going. I wanted to go to that, but I didn't know anybody who was going. And I thought how sad that we are scared that we're going to show up with our covenant family and no one will talk to us. And, oh, sorry. So, when I see somebody who's scared and they come and they connect, it's been beautiful. So, anyway, sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. But I think, oh man, so I'm teaching 7th and 8th grade girls, and at some point, I don't know if guys feel this way, but girls sometimes, ladies, sometimes we feel like 7th and 8th grade girls who's going to sit with me. And so for women's ministry, I force everybody to talk to somebody because I don't want a 7th grade girl to go, no one spoke to me when I left. So anyway, whoo. So. Does that answer some of that? So anybody else? Well, it is a joy to work here. And I am going to pray before I just start crying and sweating and everything. So thank you for letting me join your class. And for all of us men and women, I would just say, remember the covenant God made before the foundation of the earth. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will dwell with you. Let that transform your worship and let that transform how you view the body. And so let me pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that before the foundation of the earth, you declared we would be yours and you made it happen. And then you gave us to one another. God, help us not to squander this good gift, but help us to be men and women who value the relationships that you've entrusted to us to steward. Help us to do it well. God, thank you for Discovery Class and the way that you've used it to equip so many men and women through the years and the way that they love one another. Would you continue to grow this community in their love for one another? And then would you use them to impact the larger church? As they show the depth of love that they have, that it would bring great praise and glory to your name. We pray and ask this in your son's name. Amen.